Well, get ready for this coast-to-coast ride. Back with us, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, and we're going to be talking about energy healing through hypnosis, ascension, teleportation, how we can safely travel from the fifth dimension from our own spiritual growth and return. That's what we're going to do on Coast to Coast AM. Let me tell you about our special guest, Dr. Bruce Goldberg, of course, a regular here on Coast to Coast, holding advanced degrees in dentistry and counseling psychology, conducts an international hypnotherapy practice specializing in reincarnation, time travel, soul healing, and here he is, Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Always a pleasure, Bruce.
Same here, George. Thank you very much, a.k.a. Dexter Monterey.
Yes.
Kind introduction and the privilege to reincarnate on Coast for about the 100th time already. Tonight, we're going to be discussing, as you mentioned before the commercial break, energy healing, and the emphasis is going to be on the fifth dimension. So just remember the term that we use here. When you actually enter into the fifth dimension, you are an ultra-terrestrial. I'm also going to include examples of how you can use going into parallel universes to facilitate healing as we talk about this and the ability to prepare ourselves for ascension, as well as all the other techniques that can help us grow spiritually. But first, I want to thank you very much, as usual, for your kind review of my Exploring the Fifth Dimension book for your listeners.
You deserve it.
This is what George wrote. Dr. Goldberg guides you into a world beyond your wildest expectations. Highly recommended. And with popular demand from your listeners over the last couple of weeks, I will reincarnate my offer again if your listeners buy my book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, directly from my site. I will include a free fifth dimensional travel CD, which will take them into the fifth dimension and allow them to do all the various things we're discussing tonight, including the idea of fifth dimensional healing. So this will help them to do their own thing. But again, that offer is only good for my site. If you order the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, whatever, they won't do that. It's just through my site.
There probably has never been a better time, Bruce, for people to reach within themselves to be able to do things like this.
Well, you know the kind of world we live in. My reputation here is Dr. Positive. You know, I'm a very positive dude, but I'm also a realistic idealist, and I realize the world and the universe that we live in, at least the world that we live in on the Earth plane here, always has a lot of negativity. You know, you always have politics and wars and all kinds of creepy things that people do and things that you're exposed to. So today, more so than other times, I feel, I think there's a geometric progression for that kind of negativity. The good news is that in the universe, with universal laws, one-on-one, good always beats evil. So if you and your listeners utilize these principles of accessing your higher self, that's how you can defeat the system, grow spiritually, and it doesn't matter what other people do. So let me define the term. There's a technique I developed way back decades ago called the superconscious mind tap. That is the ability to connect the subconscious mind, or soul, or spirit, which is an alpha brainwave neurologically, to the perfect part of our soul that we call the higher self. So let's define the terms. Soul healing is an energy healing and a total way of life, what I call psychic empowerment. Taking charge of your life, empowerment, by using your soul's energy and the higher self, that's the psychic part. It's more than just overcoming illness. It requires four conditions. Number one, you must desire soul healing. You must be internally motivated, not being pressured by other people, for example. Number two, you must be disciplined to do this soul healing on a daily basis. It's not a one-shot deal. Thirdly, you must have faith in the process. You've got to believe. It doesn't matter how impossible it may seem. You'll see when we discuss cures of cancer and AIDS, as we will shortly. Fourth, you must access your higher self with a superconscious mind. So the causes of our problems, like anxiety, depression, as well as all of our illnesses, originate from the soul's energy level, or what we call the frequency vibrational rate. It is during the dream level, or the REM cycle, which is an alpha brainwave, mm-hmm. and a natural example of hypnosis, that we can contact our higher self, also known as the superconscious mind, which is, again, located in the fifth dimension. So everything we're doing here is fifth dimensionally based. And then we can heal our soul, which in turn heals our physical body. So my approach is not the body first, it's the energy of the soul first. The soul controls the emotions, which is part of the physical body, and then the physical body itself. So I train all my patients during hypnosis to contact the superconscious mind or higher self through a technique that I developed called the superconscious mind tap, or cleansing as I describe it. And again, people who do this are becoming an ultra-terrestrial because they're actually traveling through the fifth dimension. So let me give you an example of a couple of cases. Many years ago in the East Coast, I worked with a man named, his name is George. That's the name I call him in
my
healing book. Okay, it wasn't you, though. He had lung cancer. He smoked 3 packs a day, more than 3 packs, actually.
Definitely not me.
And he went to his oncologist, and he was working in General Motors as an assembler. His oncologist said that he had about 6 months to live. So George called me, and he came to a session, of course. And what happened was he brought his chest x-rays with him, showing me what his lungs looked like. And I saw the tumor, which was a radio opacity, a white tumor, which was the size of a fist. Okay, so I worked with George first, of course, to use the superconscious mind tap to stop him from smoking first. That was the first step, naturally. And we did superconscious mind taps. And over the past, couple of months or so, I completed my approach with him. He says, what do I do now? And I said, just keep using the techniques. I gave him tapes to use, of course, to reinforce my training with him. 6 months later, he calls me up and says, Doc, this is George. I got to stop by your office and chat with you. And I said, okay, George, come on by. He brings this chest x-ray showing the tumor the size of a pea.
Wow.
It resolved, okay? I did not interfere with his oncology. I didn't take him off any drugs or any kind of chemotherapy.
No.
Everything was just basically hypnosis. George actually lived for another 20 years. He was in his 60s when I saw him, okay? And this was about 40
years
ago.
That's amazing.
All right. So here's another case now. This is one of AIDS. I call her Mary. These cases, by the way, are described in my soul healing book in detail for your listeners if they want to read up on this. Mary was a teacher. She was diagnosed with AIDS. She came to my Los Angeles office about 25 years ago. She had a CD4 count of about under 50, which is terrible, of course, and she wasn't given much time to live. So in her case, I did the superconscious mind tap, but in her case, I did something different. I did my new you technique where I took her into different parallel universes to see what her ideal frequency was. She went into the ideal frequency, and she described being on an experimental drug called nevirapine, which would fail and not work, but as a result of using the techniques we did, she would be freed of the AIDS. So I said, okay, so I programmed it to the ideal frequency. The next thing I knew, about 2-3 months later, she calls me up and says, guess what? Everything is fine. My CD4 count is over 150. I'm still retired from teaching, but now she's an author. She's written novels. She gives a public speaking. She gives talks, and she's well alive, and this is over 25 years later.
Are you surprised, Bruce, when you get those calls, or do you expect this now?
No, actually, I do expect it, but let me make a very important point, because I know, with all due, I love your listeners, you know that, and I love people in general, but there's a misdiagnosis here that people make about me, so I want to clear it up right now. I know I say this, but sometimes it's ignored. I am responsible for 1% of a patient's healing. 99%, and please, this is on tape, folks, this is on files forever, 99% is due by the patient's higher self or superconscious mind. That does the healing. The problem is, if you don't connect with your higher self, then you're not going to do anything. You're just going to continue going on with your life, and the disease process will run its course, or it may kill people, as in cancer and AIDS and lupus and other forms of very debilitating diseases that have a high mortality rate. So if you connect with your higher self, remember, the origin of the higher self is the God energy complex. This is perfect energy. It can create anything. It can heal. It can change the DNA, which is medically impossible. That's the way I was trained from my academic background, but that's wrong. You can change the DNA. You can do that by energy. And energy can do anything. You can create anything. You can raise the frequency vibrator, the vibrational rate of the higher, of the soul, to equal it to the level needed to overcome the issue itself. So let me give you another example of soul healing that has nothing to do with me, but it's something that is academic and is something that even has theological orientations. There is a place in Lourdes, France, that was set up by the Catholic Church way back a long time
ago. That's right. It's where Bernadette was, right?
Right. This is a woman, a little teenage French peasant girl by the name of Bernadette Soubirous, in 1858, claimed to have seen the Virgin Mary. There's a spring there. It's a very cold water, extremely cold water. And she had this apparition of the Virgin Mary. She reported that to the Vatican, of course, and the Catholic Church came up there, authenticated the experience as much as they could, and they declared this to be a one of their sanctuaries, so to speak. Over the last 150 years, the Catholic Church has documented over 60 miracles. And you know they're not real liberal about claiming something to be a miracle. So here's an example. Let me give you one of their miracles. A man named Vittorio Micheli was inducted into the Italian Army in 1961. He complained of pains in his left hip. A comprehensive series of medical tests revealed that Micheli had sarcoma, cancer of the left pelvis. The condition worsened, and by August of that year, x-rays showed almost a complete destruction of his left pelvis. Micheli was placed on a hip-to-toe cast and treated with chemotherapy. After 2 months of this treatment, with no improvement, the chemotherapy was discontinued. All right, now in May of 1963, Micheli went to Lourdes. By now, he had severe and continuous pain, loss of appetite, could no longer stand even. Immediately after plunging himself into Lourdes, the water there, the very cold water, his appetite improved, and he no longer experienced pain. Micheli started walking within a month. X-rays showed a regression of the sarcoma, the tumor, which was malignant, of course, at the time, but now no longer, which completely disappeared by 1974. He began working in a factory where he was required to stand for 8 to 10 hours a day. Bureau records show that Micheli's left hip and leg are the same as normal. Now, you have to understand something. I'm a scientist, okay? I'm a doctor. I've got 3 degrees. One of my dear sweet patients used to say, I have more degrees than a thermometer, and I appreciate that. Okay, well, but you know, my scientific colleagues do not like when I talk about things like the soul energy, about things like the God
right.
energy.
Oh, they don't understand it, do they?
Well, they're mostly atheists or agnostic. Most of them are atheists, and they're welcome to their opinion. They're wrong, of course, but they won't find out until they cross into spirit. Okay, so let's go back to the early 1900s. The Rockefeller Institute in New York was sequestered or hired by Life magazine. They wanted to go to Lourdes, and this is 1902, for the purpose of exposing the Lourdes. In other words, they were trying to say this is a scam and we're going to have doctors, real doctors with MDs from the Rockefeller Institute and good old Big Apple, New York City, and we're going to show that this is all a scam. This man named Alex Carrel, who later got the Nobel Prize in Medicine, by the way, so he's a Nobel laureate, he went to Lourdes, and what happens? He worked on this woman, or saw this woman by the name of Marie Bailey with tuberculosis. He witnessed the spontaneous cure of Miss Bailey at Lourdes. Of course, they documented this in Life magazine, and he became a protagonist, not an antagonist. Okay? So here's an example of the medical community. Okay, now, of course, most physicians don't really care about this. They don't want to hear about this. But we have now an academic documentation of a Nobel Prize laureate. This guy isn't mashed potatoes, as we would say. So that's an example of an energy. And the healing, of course, is done by energy. Now, when we're dealing with energy, I must also always bring into my famous technique called etheric plane surgery. Now, this involves out-of-body experiences. Remember, when you're using fifth-dimensional mentalities, which we will hear, everything is out of the body. Okay, the earth
everything.
Is where
yeah.
we're on now, but we're talking about going into the fifth dimension, which is the out-of-body aspect, the astral plane, causal, mental, etheric, soul plane. These are all different dimensions. And by the way, parallel universes are included in the fifth-dimensional mentality. So when the Mary with the AIDS case was treated by going into the future, that was a fifth-dimensional approach. So she became an ultra-terrestrial.
Did she know she was doing this, or did she stumble into it?
Actually, she saw the TV movie, The Search for Grace. She was a very big fan of mine, so she knew all about this. She read my Past Lives, Future Lives, my first book. So she knew all about me. Okay, she had done her homework. Okay, so this is what happens when you go out of the body. Let's say you go into the astral plane. The soul will then occupy a spiritual body. If it's the astral plane, it will occupy the astral body. However, I use a technique called, out-of-body training, fifth-dimensional travel, just like the fifth-dimensional CD I talked about with the Exploring book for your listeners. So if I train people to go to the etheric plane, now this is a very large dimension, extremely, the largest of all the dimensions that I know. And on this dimension, there are entities known as the etheric plane surgeons. And what they do is by using a lot of weird techniques of color and sound and all kinds of unusual things, they heal the etheric body. Because the soul is now to go to the etheric plane, you must occupy the etheric body. Now, why is that important? Because the etheric body is the only spiritual body that is mirror image identical to the physical body. The astral body, for example, is taller, thinner, and younger looking, okay, than the physical body, okay? So people like that. They say it looks cool, especially my female patients, with all due respect, okay? They love it, okay?
That's right.
All right. But the etheric body is identical. In fact, if you ever lost your etheric body, you would instantly die on the earth plane. That never happens, but it's that critical. But when you cure these etheric plane surgeons, by the way, that look like giant tadpoles, they're really odd-looking. I've seen them, okay? When they do cure the etheric body, now there are techniques that I devised called etheric plane surgery, where you can transfer the healing from the etheric body to the physical body on the earth plane when the soul returns from its fifth dimensional sojourn back to the earth plane. And that's how Mary and George and others and thousands of others that I work with have actually incorporated the healing. So the etheric plane surgery is a brilliant technique. If you've got an incurable disease and that your doctor says 6 months to live, go on a round the world cruise, you've got nothing to lose. It's not a given. It's a very difficult technique. It's not 100%. It's not even close to that. But when it works, it's brilliant. And
What is it, Bruce, that makes it work?
Well, what makes it work is the higher self is the God energy complex, okay? So the higher self is guiding you to the etheric plane. Now, the etheric plane surgeons, they're technicians. Well, you know, they're like doctors in a way. They're like surgeons, okay? So they're doing this, but they can't still do it without the cooperation of the higher self. Your higher self, the element or the remnant of the God energy complex, is accompanying you. It's your, it's your buddy there, okay? It's your chaperone. So the higher self is actually the one that does it. But in certain cases, it just can't cure everyone of everything, or else we'd have no diseases, okay? There are certain limits here. So the etheric plane surgeons become a co-conspirator in a positive way to heal. And that's what's called etheric plane surgery. So these are all fifth-dimensional techniques. So just think of a couple of principles here that are very important. One is that because the healing energies originate from the spiritual level, they can work at any facet of a person's being. Anxiety, depression, pain, cancer, AIDS, lupus, all these diseases, whatever you have, anything is workable. If it's humanly possible, your higher self can do that. The higher self directs the union of the patient and the soul healing by way of energy. Illness is not seen as a problem to be fought against. It is a condition of imbalance of energies. The purpose of illness is to bring something to our attention. The purpose of the higher self is to balance the energies and the chakras. Those of you that know about chakras, the major chakras anyway, the seven major chakras that occupy the spiritual, not the physical body. Soul healing cooperates with the body's own healing forces rather than overriding them. Medicine tries to override you with drugs, which drives the disease process internally. Not a good concept, okay? Many of the side effects of drugs are worse than the syndromes, okay? Especially antidepressants. Right. If your listeners have ever taken them and read the PDR, they'd know what I'm talking about. The soul healing is completely natural. Every one of us has the ability to draw upon the healing energy of the higher self, and soul healing has been around since shamanism has been around, and that's 50,000 years ago where shamanism began in Siberia, of all places. When you use the superconscious mind tap, which of course is the main thing I use with my patients, you can do things like scan past lives, the future lives of yourself as well as people in your family or friends. You can contact departed loved ones who are on the astral plane in between lives, masters and guides, your higher self.
Angels. Do you do it in a dream state, Bruce?
Yes, you can, yes. And also time travel from our future. They can be contacted because they reside mostly in the fifth dimension when they come back to our century. You can obtain spiritual guidance and growth by raising the frequency vibrational rate of your subconscious mind or soul. And again, your spirit guides and your higher self will assist you in your own growth. You can remove attached entities, psychic protection, as I call that, and that can be very serious. A lot of people's problems today are due to psychic attack, as you know, the sappers or as you talk about on your site, the shadow people, so to speak. And you can contact the souls of children before they're born if you want to see what your fetus is about to be and if there's a karmic connection, et cetera. All that is relevant by using the dream levels at night and superconscious mind tap. You can also slow down the aging process.
Let's talk about that after the break, Bruce. Dr. Bruce Goldberg with us. It's literally slow down the aging process. Later on, he'll talk about some more cases of teleportation. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're back with Dr. Bruce Goldberg. His website, of course, linked up at coasttocoastam.com right now. Bruce, so how do you slow down the aging process with your subconscious mind?
Okay, we're going to talk about the idea of DHEA production. But first, I'm getting a lot of emails from your listeners. Some of them want to get the fifth-dimensional travel technique but don't want to buy the book. If they want to get a written exercise of the fifth-dimensional travel, and again, these are people who don't have computers because everything is on my site, they can call my toll-free number, which is 1-800-KARMA-4U or 1-800-527-6248, and I will send them a written exercise for free with information about the other books and CDs. But please, only if you don't have a computer. If you have a computer, everything is on the website.
Okay,
so let's talk about slowing down the aging process. Hypnosis, as an alpha brainwave level, increases the production of a substance called DHEA. This is it's called dehydroepiandrol sulfate. It's produced by the adrenal glands and the gonads. And what this is the intermediary state of sexual hormones, estrogen in women and testosterone in men. Now, what this does in the intermediary phase of DHEA, it stimulates the production of T lymphocytes, beta cells, and macrophages. These are parts of our immune system that fight viral diseases like cancer and AIDS and all these other things. So the only reason why we age, just think of the big picture. Why do we age? Why aren't we just immortal? It's because our immune system breaks down. So anything that you can do to build up the immune system and to slow down its degeneration will slow down the aging process. The maximum production of DHEA for a woman is at age 20 and 25 for a man. So DHEA decreases with age, unless you use hypnosis. There are documented studies at Harvard University by Keith Wallace and others to show that hypnosis or meditation, both are alpha techniques and the same thing basically, increases the production of DHEA and slows down the aging process. So when you increase the DHEA levels, this is what happens. You are less likely to develop atherosclerosis or suffer from cardiovascular disease in general. You are less likely to develop malignant tumors and generate cancer. You are less likely to lose insulin sensitivity and acquire diabetes. And you are less likely to suffer a decline in mental function and lapse into a dementia, Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or other stroke-related diseases. And you are less likely to develop obesity. These are all the advantages of increasing DHEA. So let me give you an example of a case that occurred years ago in the East Coast. I call this woman Polly. She was age 52 when I saw her. This is back in 1977, a long time ago. She suffered from high blood pressure, smoking, depression, obesity, etc. Her daughter, Carol, who was 21 years old, was also overweight, depressed, and smoked. But I never saw Carol. She was in college at the time. So I gave Polly a copy of my Slowing Down the Aging Process CD for her so she could give it to her daughter. Okay. So now I'm working with Polly. I work with her for a couple of months. She's a great patient. Everything's mm-hmm. fine. So now I finish up with her, and I don't hear from her for 20 years. 20 years later. Now it's 1997. I'm in Los Angeles. Okay, right? Got this? Okay. And I'm doing coast-to-coast interviews, right? Okay. So now it's 20 years later. Polly comes to Los Angeles because of her job. She had a corporate assignment here. She's going to some conference or whatever. And she calls me up and says, Doc, this is Polly. Do you remember me?
Yeah, from 20 years ago,
and
right?
And I said, could you enlighten me? She goes, well, I have a daughter, Carol. I said, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I've got a pretty good memory. I said, yeah. She goes, can I stop by to say hello? And I said, sure. You know, I let my patients do that. So she comes by. I see her. She lost 50 pounds. I almost didn't recognize her. She no longer smoked or nor was depressed. Her blood pressure was normal. Now at age 72, she looked like she was 55, okay? She looked great and was playing tennis and, golfing and going to a country club. And she told me that her daughter, Carol, the one who I never saw, had lost 25 pounds, no longer smoked, eliminated her depression, and she showed me a recent picture of Carol, who was now 41, but looked like she was 30. So this is an example. Again, folks, remember, 99% of this was done by the patient, not by me. Okay, so this is an example of how you can use fifth-dimensional healing techniques to do all kinds of fun things. Look at the concept of traditional or allopathic medicine today. Remember, doctors a lot of my colleagues don't like me because I'm the one who gets people offered drugs. I never prescribe, and they don't like that because I'm competition to them.
They want to put them on that stuff.
You know, I don't really care about my colleagues. I care about the patients, okay? To me, getting offered drugs and becoming natural and holistic and healed is more important than the ego of my colleagues. Okay, preventing illness in the first place is far easier, wiser, and less costly, think of it, than treating disease. disease once it occurs. Most of the common drugs that are prescribed by conventional physicians today begin with the prefix anti. Anti means against. Antihistamines, antidepressants, anti-inflammatories. These are all antihypertensive. These are all anti-drugs. Conventional medicine is usually effective only for the management of acute conditions on a short-term basis. Where it is less effective or not effective at all relates to long-term or chronic conditions. So the patient is exposed to many side effects of these drugs, toxicity we call that, and the disease process is actually brought or strengthened and driven internally to the patient's body by using these drugs. These suppressive measures can actually drive all disease processes inward rather than outward, and therefore it affects the vital organs, which is why people die a lot in hospitals. So patients who take prednisone, for example, for many months to control rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, asthma, or other allergic disorders, commonly experience depression, ulcers, weight gain, acne, and weakened bones. What a great concept for a side effect of a drug, right? So to me, soul healing is the opposite. It's holistic. It has positive perspectives. It affects the actual energy of the soul, which is not part of the physical body. It's our life force. It's energy. But it affects the emotions, which is hormones, which is part of our physical body, which in turn affects the actual physical body itself and generates the healing processes. The average person today, and these are old studies, takes over 76,000 pills during their lifetime, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
76,000.
76,000, okay? You know, I like the spirit of 76, but not three zeros added on to it. One thing I want to share with you, because I talk about the superconscious mind tap, and this is a dedication to you, George. I want to acknowledge you. You're my best friend in the media. I love working with you. I want to talk about your late relative, Shafika Karagula.
She was a great doctor.
Well, this is not just a great doctor. This was a great soul. She was born in 1914, died in 1986. She wrote a very important book called Breakthroughs to Creativity. I have a copy of that, by the way, back in 1967 when she wrote that. And then she termed what they call higher sensory perception, HSP, in which the patient describes out-of-body experiences, teleportation, and other psychic experiences from the fifth dimension. So she was an ultra-terrestrial herself, okay? My superconscious mind technique is a fifth-dimensional mentality, so we're on the same level. She was a neurologist and psychiatrist specialized in treating patients suffering from grand mal epilepsy. She worked with Wilder Penfield, a famous neurologist in Canada. And also,
you've done your homework on her, Bruce.
Yes, she also treated violent hallucinations. Now, she became interested in psychic research after reading Joseph Millard's book called Edgar Cayce, Mystery Man of Miracles. And she described these sappers, which is what I term energy vampires, or you call them the shadow people, okay? By the way, there's a chapter for Edgar Cayce in my soul healing book, so I'm very familiar with his work, and I've given talks at the ARE in Virginia Beach, giving workshops there, so I'm very familiar with the Edgar Cayce Foundation. So her quote, this is very interesting for you and your audience. This is her quote on ETs. They're here. We know about them. The government knows about them. Okay, so my deduction here, and this is a theory, George, is that your late relative, Shafika, is most likely has been in contact with you over the years, over the decades, which is why you're interested in this field. And this is one regret I have in my life, is that I never had the pleasure to meet her while she was on the earth plane. She was a brilliant woman. She worked with Eagle Swan, William Tiller from Stanford. William Tiller is a good buddy of mine. She was a UCLA professor in 1966 to 1970. So to me, I just wanted to acknowledge that, and you, of course, and to show you that I'm not the only one in the world that deals with fifth-dimensional mentality.
Well, thank you. You would have really enjoyed meeting her.
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, futurism, I want to discuss something, too, about, you know, I'm a futurist, right? You know, I take people
in
the future. I developed the field of going into future life progression. My first book, Past Lives, Future Lives, written in 1982, was the first book ever written about taking people into the future. So when it comes to the future, I'm always a great fan of people who do that. So I want to tell you about someone that you've never heard of. I guarantee you no one's ever heard of this out there. I came across this recently. The man's name is Ingersoll Lockwood. He was a lawyer and a writer, born in 1841, died in 1918. He wrote three children's books, one in 1892, one in 1896, and one in 1893. This is the title of the books. Trust me, this is real. I've ordered one of these from Amazon myself. Travels and Adventures of Little Baron Trump. Listen to this. Baron, of course, is the name of Donald's youngest son with Melania, okay, right?
That's right.
Okay, this is a book about time travel. This is a book about Baron Trump, who lives in New York City on Fifth Avenue, the son of the president, who lives in a building that's named after himself. Does this ring a bell? Okay. Then he wrote a book called The Last President in 1900 about a president in Fifth Avenue. POTUS resides there in a tower that bears his name, et cetera, et cetera. And the POTUS, the president in 1900, according to Ingersoll Lockwood, has a secretary of agriculture, and the name of that man is Leif Pence, P-E-N-C-E. Does this ring a bell? Okay. And his last, third book, Baron Trump's Marvelous Underground Journey, takes him to Russia. His mentor is a man named Don. Okay, you got all this?
Mm-hmm.
This is real. This is over 100 years ago.
You can't make this up.
Now, here's something else about Trump that people don't know. His uncle, John G. Trump, was a professor of engineering at MIT, Donald Trump's uncle. He knew Nikola Tesla and reportedly had his notes on time travel, and John developed an X-ray generator. So how's that for a futurist? Isn't that cool?
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, this is like little Baron Trump going around the world, okay, traveling underground, hollow earth theory. This is the book. It's a children's book, but I'll tell you, it's fun. It's interesting. So I had to share that with your audience.
What do you see as the difference, Bruce, between near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences, things like that?
Okay. So there are three kinds of out-of-body experiences. So this is important since we're dealing with ultra-terrestrial techniques in the fifth dimension. The first type of out-of-body experience is the regular OBE. Okay, so that's something that when you go to sleep at night, by the way, and you have dreams, all right, dreams are actually, and this has been documented by research in universities, dreams are actually out-of-body experiences. They're alpha brainwave levels, but you also can leave the body, and there is research where they show how people, not only do they manifest the physical characteristics, but they can do things like read things that are stored on the ceiling in a laboratory that you can't see, that are 30 feet above them. The only way they can get there is by out of the body. Okay, so that's a regular OBE. It's natural, common. We do it every night for 3 hours a night. We're in the REM cycle, and we're out of the body. And, of course, people who use my CDs or other meditation techniques, they can do out-of-body experiences during the waking day, and I train people to do that. And I myself have been out of the body over 3,000 times. It's perfectly safe. You're never going to die by going out of the body. Now, that's the regular OBE. The one that you get a lot of attention on, even though it's something you never want to experience, is the near-death experience, or the NDE. This is when you clinically die for 3 to 5 minutes and come back. The reason why you don't want to flatline is that more often than not, you're not going to come back, okay? But that is an out-of-body experience. And when you're going into out-of-body experiences with the regular conventional OBEs, you can meet people that are having near-death experiences. I've done that myself, and so have hundreds and hundreds of my patients. The last one is the big one. This is called COBE. Conscious out-of-body experiences. This is where you're connecting with the higher self at the moment of death, and what you can do is actually facilitate ascension. That's one of the themes of the show. You can eliminate the karmic cycle, go to the soul plane, instead of coming back into another life, which is what most people do when they enter the soul plane eventually. You can rise up to the higher planes, rejoin the God energy complex, or if you want to be a Buddha type, you can come back here as a spirit guide. But the COBE is the merging of the soul with the higher self at the moment of death. But you can prepare for that now. I have a program called the Conscious Dying Training Program, which describes how you can do these techniques now. There are before-death meditations, after-death meditations. You can actually contact people on the other side. You can help a departed soul who's probably on the lower astral plane. When people die, they almost always go to the lower astral because they die in fear thanks to society's brainwashing.
How do they get out of there?
Well, they get out of there by entering the white light, and that's what's part of the conscious dying technique of actually training them. You can actually do that yourself, or your listeners can actually use these techniques, these CDs, especially designed program, or they can do this by working with me personally, and they can actually train the person on the lower astral plane to enter the white light, which will take them to the upper astral plane, and now they can meet with their higher self. And for the benefit of your listeners, too, because I get emails on this, those people that live all around the world, you know, you can do work with me by going on computer. I do FaceTime and Skype sessions regularly. In fact, 95% of my patients are done by computer. So you don't have to be in beautiful Los Angeles to see me to work with me on this.
When we talk about ascension, what does that mean?
Ascension is the perfection of the soul. Basically, the reason why we have a karmic cycle, if think of it as like a schoolhouse approach. When you're in school, to get your degree, you have to pass courses and take exams and all this kind of stuff. Okay, so if you constantly make the same errors over and over again, which is what people do, the average person has over 1,000 past lives, and that is not a compliment. That's a pretty bad thing to do. That means you're really not getting it. So you want to learn the karmic lessons, wipe the slate clean, and there are a lot of lessons to learn, but you don't have to do this mano on mano. What you can do is do the conscious out-of-body experience, connect with the higher self, and it's almost like a form of bankruptcy or a form of just wiping out the debts, so to speak. The principle of forgiveness is the universal law that we're using here, and the connecting with the higher self by using the COBE technique is a way of shortening the karmic cycle. So now the soul merges with the higher self, which is perfect. So now you're perfect, and then you go to the soul plane, and then you make the choice of either becoming back as a spirit guide or joining into the upper higher planes, we call that, to go to the 13th dimension in my paradigm, which is the God plane, to rejoin the God energy complex in nirvana or heaven, whatever term you want to use. That's what ascension is, perfecting the soul, getting out of the karmic cycle. Trust me, nobody wants to come back. What you want to do is ascend. And by the way, just for the nine, this is a very serious topic, and I want to make this clear for the audience. People who are depressed, people who have incurable diseases, please, the answer is metaphysics. It is not suicide. It is not taking your life or having somebody do it for you. You want to do this naturally and spiritually, because if you do the suicide mentality, you're going to wind up on the lower astral plane for a real long time.
That's right. Until the end of time, probably.
Well, no, not to the end of time, but, you know, maybe thousands of years by our time. It's not a good concept. You want to be able to do this naturally and spiritually and positively. And this is really, this is a technique that's been around for thousands of years. I've just westernized the techniques.
Bruce, we're going to come back and take phone calls with you. I want to talk a little bit more about teleportation, and then we'll take calls on Coast to Coast AM.